Lord and Savior. Amen. I have a question for you. How would you respond if someone asked you this question? Do you want to be a star? Now let's face it, most of us have dreamed of being a star. But the question is, what kind of star would most people have in mind? Well, some would think of being a movie star, those people that make millions of dollars and seem to be popular wherever they go. Others might think of being a sports star. We might immediately think of Michael Phelps, who recently won 8 gold medals in the Olympics. Still others, maybe on a younger spectrum, would like to be a rock star. But you know, we should also think of people who spend their time doing works of charity. Or maybe we should think of our soldiers or other public servants who risk their lives to protect us. And then there's the medical professionals who use their skills to heal people. And of course, we must think of the foreign missionaries who leave home and family to bring the gospel to people who have never heard it before. Such people are stars, if anyone is. However, did you know that you are a star? In fact, according to Scripture, every person who trusts in Jesus as Lord and Savior is a star. In today's reading, the Apostle Paul says that you Christians get to shine like stars in this world. So with that said, today's sermon is number 4 in my 8-part series on Philippians. And last Sunday we learned that Jesus is our servant. You heard how the Son of God used His power and authority to serve sinners so that we might receive forgiveness and a new life with God. We also learned how Jesus served us by going to the cross with our sin, there suffering the punishment that we deserve. In addition, Jesus also served us by conquering death for us, so that we might have the hope of living forever in His love, and knowing that He also reigns now for us over the whole universe. Finally, we also heard that Jesus moves us Christians to serve others in love, just as He serves us in love. In other words, because Jesus has saved us, we now get to live as His servants in this world, serving others in His name. With that in mind, listen again to the first part of today's reading. Paul writes, "Therefore, my dear friends, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose." You know, I must admit that those words shock us at first. I mean, when Paul says that we should work out our salvation, it sounds like he's saying that we must do something to save ourselves, as though we must somehow earn God's mercy by what we do. But that's not what Paul means at all. In fact, if Paul did mean that, then he'd be contradicting himself, because later on in his letter to the Philippians, as well as in other letters that he's written, Paul clearly teaches that we are saved by God's grace through the work of Christ alone. Well then, what does Paul mean when he says that you should work out your salvation? Well, simply put, you need to realize that salvation is something you already have. When the Holy Spirit brings you to faith in Jesus, you are then fully and completely and totally saved. Your sins are forgiven, you are holy in God's sight, you have the certain hope of eternal life. And all this is a free gift made possible by Jesus and His saving work for you. However, as we've been learning in this sermon series on Philippians. The salvation that God gives us freely and completely changes our lives. In other words, once we are saved, we begin to live for Christ. Once we are saved, God continues to nurture our faith through His Word so that we will begin to say no to sinful ways of living and yes to God's loving will for our lives. In fact, do you remember the passage from Philippians that was the basis for the very first sermon I preached in this series? Let me read for you Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Let's see if you remember this. Paul writes, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Did you hear that? God began a good work in you when He saved you and brought you to faith in Jesus, and He will continue to do good works in you as He moves you to live for Christ. Therefore, when Paul says, "Work out your salvation," he means that our lives should reflect the fact that God has saved us. We should think and speak and live in a way that shows the world that we are God's forgiven children who get to live for Christ. But why then does Paul say that we should do this with fear and trembling? Well, those English words translate this Greek slogan. The Greek slogan is phobou kai tromou. And those words actually mean that we should be in a constant state of awe and wonder. In other words, Paul does not mean that we should be afraid of God and doubt His love for us. Far from it. Instead, Paul means that we should have a holy respect for God as we strive to do His will. It also means that we should have an attitude of awe and wonder as we live for Christ. Now, why is that? Why should we be in a state of awe and wonder as we live for Christ? Well, listen to what Paul writes. "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose." Did you hear what Paul said? God does not live in some distant place, way off in the far universe, as though He were uninvolved in our lives. Quite the contrary. The Holy God has made you His temple. The Holy God works in you and through you to accomplish His plan for your life. And my friends, this fact should cause us to live with fear and trembling. In other words, we should have an attitude of awe and wonder as we live our lives in this world, because God is with us every second of the day. He's with us when we're rebelling and sinning, and that should cause us fear. But He's also with us to point us to Christ, to remind us that in spite of all of our failures and sins, we are forgiven and holy in His sight. And this same God continues to live in us and work through us. The good works we do for others is actually God reaching out to them through us. And that should cause us to live for Christ with constant holy awe and wonder. In fact, Paul essentially says the same thing in Ephesians chapter 2. Listen to what he writes there. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Simply put, God has a plan for your life. Not only has God saved you, but God is working in you and through you to accomplish His good purpose in this world. Now, since we understand that, what will our life begin to look like as God has His loving way with us? Well, Paul writes these words, which Dallas quoted a moment ago. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. Now, what is Paul teaching us here? Well, even though we are saved fully and completely, even though we are forgiven and holy in God's sight, our sinful nature still exists. And it strives to have its way in our lives. You see, our sinful nature does not want to serve God or others. Let's face it, we often want to do our own thing. And so when God does move us to live according to His will, the result is that we often complain and argue with God. Think about it. Every time we sin, aren't we actually arguing with God about what's really best for us? Or when God moves us to do good things, sometimes we find ourselves complaining as though it's a burden for us to live for Christ. I know I'm guilty of that sometimes. But you know what? God loves us too much to let our sinful attitudes control us. Therefore, today, God is using Paul to admonish our sinful attitudes so that we will repent and then find comfort in the forgiveness that we already have in Christ. In fact, as we focus on Jesus and all that He's done for us, God will give us new attitudes. New attitudes so that we can joyfully live for Jesus and in love for others. That's right. The mercy of God gives us new hearts that view living for Jesus as an honor and a privilege. My friends, when we begin to live like this, without arguing and complaining, but instead seeing living for Christ as a joy and a privilege, when we begin to live like this, we will stand out in a crooked and depraved world filled with people who could care less about Jesus, much less living for Him. In fact, Paul says that as God does His work in you, the result will be that you will shine like stars in the universe. Get that picture in your head. As Dallas so beautifully explained, we shine like stars in the darkness of the night. Have you ever been out late at night when it's a clear night and you look up above you? What do you see? Well, it all depends. From one point of view, you see nothing but darkness. There's a lot of darkness up there at night. And yet, it's not complete darkness, is it? Because as Dallas explained, dotted all over the dark night sky are thousands, millions, points of shining light. Beautiful stars in the universe. Paul is saying that you get to be God's light in this world of darkness. But now that leads to a question. How do we shine like stars for Jesus? Well, first, we get to shine like stars by our creeds. C-R-E-E-D-S. Creeds. Paul writes, you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Simply put, our creeds are nothing more than telling others what God has told us in Holy Scripture, the Word of Life. A creed is what we believe about God and His plan of salvation as revealed to us in Holy Scripture. And as we speak our creeds, as we hold out the Word of Life, we thereby shine like stars. And you can shine like a star by doing just that. Starting right in your own family. Shining like stars in your own home. Lovingly pointing each other to the good news about Jesus. You can also shine like stars when you speak God's word of life with people you know at work or at school or people you meet at other places or events. My friends, you will shine like stars as God uses you to speak His good news to others. In fact, on Saturday, November 15th, our congregation is bringing in a man named Jim Found, who will lead a Saturday workshop on lifestyle evangelism. Jim Found will teach us how to share the Word of Life in a simple way with the people that we meet every day. He will give us tools and resources that will help us know how to answer various questions and how to respond in certain situations. I strongly encourage you to make time for this workshop on November 15th. However, having said that, we do not only shine like stars by our creeds, but God also moves us to shine like stars by our deeds. D-E-E-D-S. In fact, did you know that most people will see our deeds before they get to hear our creeds? That's why we must repent of the sinful ways that we live. God has forgiven us, and He will also continue to work in us so that we can work out our salvation. That is, live in a way that honors Christ. So how do we shine like stars by our deeds? Well, we don't have to go to some far corner of the world to do some huge one-time work. No, Paul is really talking about the ordinary things we do every day. Dallas mentioned young children obeying their parents, as God wants us to do in the fourth commandment. In the same way, parents, you can shine like stars by loving your children, providing for them, teaching them right from wrong, and most of all, pointing them to Jesus. Husbands and wives, you can shine like stars by loving each other, by being faithful to your marriage vows, by forgiving each other, by putting the other first. You can shine like stars as you show gentleness and kindness and compassion to the people that you meet at work and at school and in your community. You can shine like stars as you give of yourselves to help the truly needy among us. We at Concordia can shine like stars in our community as we love each other and serve each other and build each other up in the name of Jesus. My friends, as we express deeds of kindness and concern for people at work, at school, in the community, wherever, we thereby give an opportunity for God to help us lead people to Jesus. You see, when people see our deeds of love, they might ask us why we live this way. And then we have a chance to shine like stars with our creeds. We can then hold out the word of life. We can tell them about the love of Jesus and all that He has done to save us from sin and death and hell. I think of two examples that Paul gave us in our reading. He mentions Timothy, who takes genuine interest in the welfare of others. He mentions Epaphroditus, a man sent by the Philippian congregation to meet Paul's physical needs while he was in prison in Rome. These two men shined like stars by their deeds of love, and those deeds of love gave them opportunities to speak their creeds, to hold out the word of life, to point people to Jesus, who is the source of all of our good works. For it is God who works in us to accomplish His good purpose in this world. So my friends, when you leave today, I want you to always remember that you are a star. As you keep your focus on Jesus' love for you, He will move you to shine like stars in this world of darkness. And through you, God will lead more people into His kingdom of light. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a moment we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace of God.